Technorama episode 584, 345th. Huh? Hello and welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, thank you and welcome. If you're returning, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. My name is Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, where it is currently not sunny. It's dark and raining.
And raining.
Across the table is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good. And it is also dark, but not raining. So, yeah, I'm doing good.
We've been getting...
had to move some furniture today, so I'm
not as much as Brian Brown has. He has officially moved out.
Oh,
the saga is over. Yes.
So he left mini Casa de Tomasi?
He did. There's just a couple of buckets worth of stuff and some papers on the counter that he's got to clean up. And then it's business as usual for them. Well, actually, they have a house full of boxes. I helped him unbox his 80-inch TV today.
Say that again? You did what now?
Helped him unbox his 80-inch television set.
Oh, at his house, the room.
No.
80 inches. Wow.
He said, could you help me carry the TV? I said, are you taking my TV too? He said, no, the one in my house.
You can take this one and just leave the 80 in.
Yeah. Bring my 65-inch 1K and he could leave your 40K.
Wow. 80. That's big enough to make you turn your head to see from side to side when you're watching it.
And he's got a beautiful sound bar that goes with it. That's wireless. It's gorgeous. I have television envy and Donna has appliance envy because he's got new stove, new fridge, new freezer, new pretty much everything in that house is new windows.
Did he discover some bubbling crude or something to get
he had to wait a year and a half to get his house rebuilt from a tree falling on it.
I know. Yeah, it's terrible. Well, good. I'm glad that I said this on Facebook. At first when I said this, it didn't sound right, but I was like, finally. And I meant, but I was thinking, no, finally, because I know it's been a long road to make this happen.
I hope it's a good Christmas for him in his own house now with all his new toys.
We can only hope.
We will be having a housewarming party. He did leave me some beer that might be questionable as they got things back out of storage a year and a half later. We're not sure what condition any of this stuff is in. So he said, here, why don't you try it? I'm like, okay, thanks.
Yeah. Oh, so now he considers you a guinea pig.
Yeah, it was either there. Donate it to Goodwill.
Right.
Yeah. Can't donate beer to Goodwill. All right. We do have a bit of bad news for Star Trek fans out there. Rene Auberjonois has passed away at the age of 79. I'm sure many of the Trek fans already know this, but we just wanted to acknowledge that we are saddened because we did see him on the Star Trek cruise just this past January. Have a fun picture of he and I on stage with I think he was taking a picture or a little selfie movie to send to
He wanted to take
Ethan
a picture.
Phillips.
And, yeah, he sent yeah, it to and Ethan. You had to hold the mic. And
So I got up there and I was a human mic stand for him for a little bit. But based on the pictures, it looks like we're having this great old conversation.
Yeah, I don't have a picture, but I did have a slight interaction with him. When we were doing the scavenger hunt on the ship.
Yeah.
We're all looking around for stuff and I ran into the shop and him and his son were there signing autographs and stuff. And there was a line to see him. And I'm passed by the line. I go in there and I'm looking for, I forget what it was something on the display. Anyway, I turned the corner and I was trying to look into the corner and I went, oh, excuse me. And there was him and his son. They both look up. I was like, I'm sorry, I'm doing the scavenger hunt.
I found
and then
him.
I realized, oh, I'm in the front of the line. Oh, I'm sorry.
Here, hate that when you start walking along and you realize, oh, I just cut in front of the line.
Well, and I did that with Robert Picardo, too. Remember, we were looking at the case that had props and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm walking by, I'm like, why are all these chairs here? I look over, there's somebody sitting in one. I said, excuse me. I went, oh, it's Robert Picardo. Sorry.
I was just looking at the artifacts. Oh, no, antiques. Yeah. No. Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's funny that this happened. I mean, the news came out today because I was sitting there. I've been watching DS9 all day. I've been doing stuff at the computer and I just had it playing. And I've been watching some episodes all day. And then I saw the news and I'm like, oh man, it just terrible. And then earlier in the week, or I guess last week, Robert Walker Jr. Passed away.
Oh, DC Fontana. Dorothy Fontana passed away
She passed away, and Robert Walker Jr., who's Charlie X, he passed away as well.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he was also 79, just like Renee.
We use his clip regularly.
You don't need all that subspace chatter.
And here it is, right at hand. Yes, he passed away as well.
How'd I do that? Oh. All righty. Well, let's do something a little more fun, shall we? Let's do our feedback.
Yes.
We have some funny feedback at least.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman, mail today.
I always do that. I would put my finger in the webcam and ring the doorbell.
And the Skype latency makes it oh so effective.
I'll say maybe I should plan it to do it ahead of time next time.
We have voicemail from Gary in Jacksonville.
Oh.
Hello, Technorama people. This is Gary Lindros, a faithful contributor at this point.
Yes.
I finished my Babylon 5 rewatch, so I'm diving back into catch up with podcasts. I last left you guys early in February or March of 2019.
Oh, my.
I'm currently just rounding August in right just before DragonCon, so perhaps I'll even get to hear myself on the next episode. Anyway, the real reason I'm calling. With this plethora of subscribing services, some of us are cash-strapped. So, from a geek point of view, if you have to pick just one podcast,
streaming service.
La 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 la. Anyway, if you have to pick just one streaming service to best serve your geek needs, what would that streaming service be? CBS All Access, Netflix,
ooh,
Hulu, some other varieties, Disney Plus. I would really love to hear your opinion. Feel free to make this a question of the week if you'd like. Take care, everyone. Hopefully I'll see you sooner than later.
I was secure in my answer till he threw in that geek streaming service.
Well, there's, I would say off the bat, Disney Plus is a strong contender because if you're just want genre stuff, because you have Star Wars and Marvel.
Right.
And you got a lot of Marvel stuff coming, series. However, CBS All Access, you have a lot of Star Wars coming up. So I would say, Star Trek, excuse me. So you have Star Trek, Star Wars, and Marvel for just those two services.
I'm going to defer here for a moment and check to keep peace in the family. Donna, are you going to weigh in on this? No? She's shaking her head. Okay.
Oh.
So that means I get to choose. And I think just to keep peace in the family, we would stick with Netflix. I know it doesn't have quite as much specific geek content like Star Trek on CBS All Access or Marvel and Star Wars on Disney. Certainly Hulu's got a lot of good content too. But I think the bang for the buck, which one do we tune to the most, is still going to be Netflix at this point.
Yeah, I would say Netflix is still very strong.
Don't forget Amazon Prime. That's got some good content too.
The only problem I have with Amazon Prime is it's like it's on its own little thing. It doesn't get included with other stuff when I'm searching for. However, you can search for a movie on Google and it'll tell you where it's streaming.
Huh, that's
which is nice.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if it's just because of the competition or the infighting between Google and Amazon for other reasons.
Well, no, it shows up on there. So it says it's on Prime. It'll tell you where you can buy it from or where it's streaming from. Well, there's also, if you use the Google Movies app, whether you buy the movies through Google or not, it doesn't matter. But you can search for a show or movie. It will also tell you where it's streaming at.
Oh,
and it'll tell you if you can stream it for free, as opposed to just paying for it. So If there's one place that you got to pay, but there's other places you can get it for free, it'll show you the free options as well.
Speaking of Google Movies, you're the one who told me that you could use the Google surveys to bank a little coin, and then you don't feel guilty when you buy an app for $3 or a movie for $5, whatever it is. I found out this week, as my balance went from $43 to $35, that they expire after a year. Did you know your Google Play money, not your Google Pay money, Play money right. expires for the promotional stuff?
Okay. Well,
because the surveys are a promotional thing, in the T's and C's that nobody reads.
Well, that's fine. Usually when I get around $8 to $10, I'm usually buying a movie or doing something with it anyway. So I never really noticed, but
I noticed.
Well, yeah, I guess that. No, I mean, I use it before it gets that far. So that's interesting. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So if anybody does anything like that, have fun with it.
So right. Streaming service. So just to say, for geek stuff specifically, I was going to say CBS and Disney Plus are strong together. There's a lot of stuff coming on Hulu as well. And then there's Netflix. I don't know. I can't really put my finger on one. It depends on what you're interested in. However, you can get Hulu, Disney Plus, and even ESPN if you want for a bundle price, which is like $12. And you get three things.
Yeah, that's what Brian did too.
That's actually a pretty good deal. Pretty good deal.
Might have to consider that. All right, let's move on to our Facebook question of the week. What was your biggest aha? That's how that works moment. And we have question. First one from Nate Welch was kind of what my response was. Going to take a while to narrow that down to what the biggest one was. And I know Nate is a bit of a techie too. He's the one who helped us wire up Evil Robot Santa's LED eyes.
Okay.
He gets that credit to his name. Edward Klein says, somewhat wrapping my head around space-time, this video really blew things wide open for me in the concept. Be warned, Fermilab has a lot of videos, and it's easy to go down the rabbit hole. So he sends us two YouTube videos, apparently from Fermilab. Thank you very much. Gary Lindros, who we just heard from, said, when I first learned how hydraulic cylinders work, very appropriate for that man in his line of work. He does a lot of car smashing.
Yes, right. Oh, by the way, yes. I got another one from Gary.
Go ahead.
Because I posted the same question on my feed, and he replied, it's not really tech, but childbirth. The books really don't prepare you for it. Like, good point. I think I agree with that.
Yeah, it's not what you learn in ninth grade health and phys ed class.
No.
Scott Schmelzer had a similar comment. He said, my heart after my daughter was born. Oh, isn't that sweet?
Oh,
Mark Erickson says VLAN with remote VPN with the add route command and making it start up with the connection. Wow, that's as good as timey wimey wibbly wobbly space time stuff. Lone Guys Knight says walking into H&R Block with a special coupon to have them do my first tax return as an unemployed person, watching the quote accountant tick a bunch of boxes and hand me my return in all of 5 minutes. Apparently the 1040 easy is all a teenager needs. At least I don't have to spend the $50. Yeah. My sister included a picture of a fancy schmancy wine bottle opener that looks more like a surgical instrument. It's kind of scary in that
way. Actually, my mother has this one. So what you do is you lift the lever on the top and see that piece in the middle that looks like something you'd see in a gynecologist office. Anyway, that middle part.
I can't say I've been in too many gynecologist office, Craig.
It looks like one of those instruments. It was in the ninth ed phys ed thing. Anyway, so what it is that's a clamp. So you put the bottle in.
Sure.
And you squeeze it together, hold it, then you raise and lower the lever, and it screws down and pulls it right out.
The fact that this thing comes in what looks like a Pelican case with all the right styrofoam cutouts. And
it's like you go to a restaurant and they bring you a bottle and you go and put it all back.
Doug K says, the first time I disassembled a car's rear differential, that is an aha moment. How those things work is when you put it up on the lift and you turn one wheel and the other one turns the opposite direction, you're going, how does this work in real life?
There's a really cool video online that was showed how that worked.
Yep.
and with a 3D thing, and it gives you an idea. And once you get your head wrapped around it, it is pretty neat.
Tim Florek says, learning how Big Bird works. And I did watch the video from the Globe and Mail.
Let's add in that, Carol Spiney passed away also today.
Oh, man. You're just bringing the whole show down.
I know. It's terrible. It's terrible. All these people passing away.
So Weber Baker says, possibly when I opened one of those old rollerball mice and saw all the stuff in there. Oh, wait, that was the greatest. That's why it doesn't work moment. Oh, because he opened it up. Actually, I did learn how the old optical mice work. Not the rollerball mice, because there are optical sensors in there. And I walked up to one of our smartest engineers and I said, Fred, there's two LEDs in here, one on the X-axis and one on the Y-axis. How does it know when you stop if you're now moving in a positive or negative direction on either of those axes? And he said, quadrature waveform output. And I went, okay.
Of course.
Now, could you say that in English? And he showed me that there's actually two LEDs per axis. One that's like a half a phase out of half of a waveform out of phase with the other one. So you've actually got four states instead of two. Because if you just had, it's like there's holes in the spokes. And when the LED is on, you either have an on or an off. But there's a second one that says, all right, did it go from, 10 to 11, or did it go from 10 to 00? You could move
another state.
It's like, oh, there's actually four states per axis. And that's how it knows which way you went. Okay, that was a big aha moment for me.
Hmm.
Did you come up with any?
No, I just, except for Gary's birth.
Oh, Michael Slobodnik says, when I finally got OAuth 2.
First comment.
I like Michael's because it's very close to what we do at work. When I finally got OAuth 2.0 to work with a REST integration.
Yes, bless you.
Yeah, funny if you've been there. We also have an email from Fritz. Fritz called us in International Technorama Listener Line Month. And he said, hello, Chuck and Craig. Thank you for delighting me often with your podcasts on my commute to work. Since part of it is on the Autobahn with no speed limit, I've decided to give you a very special shout out. Hopefully not while you're on the Autobahn.
He's got his head out the window. 101!
I'm going 101!
Right.
He says, keep up the brilliant work in 101, everybody. Fritz from Germany, to be precise. Fritz Ulrich Sievert. You manage the pronunciation. I won't be angry. Oh, if I munge the pronunciation. So hopefully that was close. I know enough German to slide by. P.S. The Beer Fest polka was composed by the venerated Harry Mancini. I didn't know that. You might remember Henry Mancini from the Pink Panther theme.
Dun-dun-dun-dun. Yes, that's right. Dun-dun. Yes.
Well, and also... what was the other one he did? It was even on The Simpsons with the sports mascot. He did the elephant walk.
Oh yeah, that's of course I did. Yeah,
he did that one. But the Beer Fest polka is. Anyway, so we've had a whole lot of fun. If you want to look those up, go ahead. Thank you, Fritz, for adding another bit of trivia to the repertoire.
Yeah, like we need any more.
Yeah, because this show's all about that. 18 minutes in, and we finished the feedback. Yay. We could have made a feedback show out of that one.
Might be cutting a story or two.
I don't know. We got some good ones in here. Let's do the history ASAP, PDQ. On this day in history for December 11, 2019, this is the 345th day. I get where you got the show title from now. 345th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 20 days remaining in 2019. And how many other podcasts actually cite the Gregorian calendar besides this one? It was on this date in 1789 that the University of North Carolina is chartered by the North Carolina General Assembly.
And that same date in 1815, the U.S. Senate creates a select committee on finance and uniform national currency, predecessor of the United States Senate Committee on Finance.
So they set a riveting task force. No, you got to think about it. This is 1815 and we didn't have a single currency yet for the U.S.
That's right.
Been a country for like going on 30 years, 40 years. That could be a problem. If every state had their own currency.
They both sounded like they were riveting and exciting committees.
All in favor of the franc?
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And also today in 1934, Bill Wilson, co-founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, takes his last drink and enters treatment for the final time.
Oddly enough, he's not anonymous anymore. So 73 years ago today, the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, UNICEF, is established.
Trick or treat for UNICEF. December 11th, 1968, the Rolling Stones and Roll Circus featuring... The Rolling Stones Rock and Roll Circus featuring the Rolling Stones, Jethro Tull, The Who, Taj Mahal, Marianne Faithful, and Dirty Mac with Yoko Ono. Wow, that's quite the lineup. It's filmed in Wembley, London.
That same date in 1972, Apollo 17 becomes the sixth and final Apollo mission to land on the moon.
Till the Chinese get there.
Yeah.
Happy birthday goes out of the state to Scottish physicist, mathematician, and astronomer David Brewster, born in the state in 1781.
And Hector Berlioz.
Berlioz. Didn't you watch The Aristocats?
Sure. French composer, conductor, and critic. Just much like Chuck beat me up over pronunciation, was born on the same date in 1803.
Kamehameha V of Hawaii was born on the same date in 1830. So there you go, Mad Marv.
There you go. John Labatt, Canadian brewer.
Oh, wait. Don't tell me he made Molson's Canadian, right?
That's right. No, it was Rolling Rock. No, John Labatt,
Moosehead.
Canadian brewer, businessman. Huh?
Moosehead.
Yeah, Moosehead, that's it. And businessman was born on the same date in 1838.
Robert Koch, the German maker. Actually, I think it would be Koch. The German microbiologist and physician, Nobel Prize laureate, was born 176 years ago today.
And born December 11th, 1863, American astronomer and academic, Anne Jump Cannon.
Keep that in mind, 1863.
Sounds like a sentence. Anne Jump Cannon.
Cannon. It was a circus act.
Yeah. Think it Evel Knievel jumping the can.
Max Born, the German physicist and mathematician, Nobel Prize laureate, was born 137 years ago today.
An American farmer and businessman founded Knott's Berry Farm, Walter
Knott.
Knott was born 130 years ago today.
You didn't call it Knott's Berry Farm?
No.
Okay, just me.
It's not funny, Chuck. Move along.
It's a sword, not a knife. Also born that same date in 1944, American singer-songwriter Brenda Lee, which she's singing a lot of Christmas songs this time of year.
Yes, she is. An American bass singer, songwriter, producer, Nikki Sixx, was born on this date in 1958.
Nikki Sixx is 61.
60. That's right.
And he ain't singing any Christmas songs. Listener birthdays good this week go out December 11th through 17th. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five of them on December 12th, including Decker D, one of my former coworkers, Kevin Burns, a.k.a. Soul Blaze, the Giant, better known as Matt Blocker on his driver's license, or would be in traffic, he'd be a Matt Blocker. Anyway, Rob Real, a.k.a. Surreal, and she doesn't know she's on the calendar because I put it there. Dr. Pamela Gay from Astronomy Cast is on there. December 14th is Michael Spence from Brother Osric Scriptorium, and none other than our very own Jorga Schrawen on December 17th. Patreon member, postcard guy, and all-round wonderful longtime listener. Thank you very much to all of you, and if it is your birthday this week, we wish you all the best in... I'm waiting for the end of the song. I'm listening to it in the background. It's not going.
I'm stalling
here. Anyway, happy birthday to all of you. If you're not on there, go to chuckchat.com/wiki right there on the bottom and add your name. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. Or if you happen to mention it on your podcast, I'm going to put it out there for you like I did with Pamela.
Yeah, why not?
That's the way it was on this day for December 11th, 2019. And... take us away, band. Okay, this is it. This is the end, right? This is the end. I can't see the timer. I have no idea. Wait. Here it comes. 3, 2, 1. Hit the end. Yes! I'm doing this by gut instinct alone now.
You look for that horn, that last little horn.
That's right. I'm going to put words to that music one of these days.
Oh, great. Something to look forward to.
All righty. We have, I'd call this good news. Yes?
Actually, sure. Why not?
Listen to this.
News and weather, everyone.
Let's see. If I line these up just right, I'll take the first one. That way you end up with the appropriate one on the Remember When if we do every other story.
Sure.
Okay. So, researchers discover a new way to split and sum photons with silicon. I don't know.
By the way,
yes.
When I saw this, you know, the first thing I went through my head. Remember, what was his name? Yahoo Serious. He had that movie where he split the beer at him.
Wow, you are really searching there, buddy.
But I saw a split this. But I was like, it popped in my head. I was like, oh.
And that's the only reason you picked this story.
No.
Okay. Let me read on. A team of researchers at the University of Texas at Austin and the University of California, Riverside, have found a way to produce a long hypothesized phenomenon, the transfer of energy between silicon and organic carbon-based molecules in a breakthrough that has implications for information storage in quantum computing, solar energy conversion and medical imaging. Sorry. The research is described in a paper out today in the journal Nature Chemistry. Silicon is one of the planet's most abundant materials and critically important in everything from semiconductors that power our computers to the cells used in nearly all solar energy panels. For all of its abilities, however, silicon has some problems when it comes to converting light into electricity. Different colors of light are comprised of photons. Okay, we all knew that, I hope, right? Particles that carry light's energy. Silicon can efficiently convert red photons into electricity, but with blue photons, which carry twice the energy as red photons, silicon loses most of their energy as heat. Wah, 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 wah. We need red photons. No, red silicon. No, what is it? The new discovery provides scientists with a way to boost silicon's efficiency by pairing it with a carbon-based material that converts blue photons into pairs of red photons that can be more efficiently used by silicon. Oh, okay. Hmm. So it's a two-for-one deal. A two-for-one deal. Come on in, I'll trade your blue photons for a pair of red photons. This hybrid material can also be tweaked to operate in reverse, taking in red light and converting it into blue light, which has implications for medical treatments and quantum computing. Quote, the organic molecule we've paired silicon with is a type of carbon ash called anthracene. That almost sounds like coal, but that's anthracite or any something like that. It's basically soot. That's probably why it's so close to coal. It said Sean Roberts, a UT Austin assistant professor of chemistry. The paper describes a method for chemically connecting silicon to anthracene, creating a molecular power line that allows energy to transfer between the silicon and ash-like substance. Quote, we now can finely tune this material to react to different wavelengths of light. Imagine, for quantum computing, being able to tweak and optimize the material to turn one blue photon into two red photons. Don't take the blue pill. And two red photons into one blue. Don't take the red pill. It's perfect for information storage. Okay, so they found different ways. For four decades, scientists have hypothesized that pairing silicon with a type of organic material that better absorbs blue and green light efficiently could be the key to improving silicon's ability, to convert light into electricity. But simply layering the two materials never brought about the anticipated, I love this name, spin triplet exciton transfer. Exciton. Hey, yeah.
That would be a great band name.
That would be awesome if you had three people that looked the same. Maybe that's the Blue Man Group, which you can trade in for two.
Spin-trifics. Yeah.
You can trade up for six Red Man Group.
That's right.
I love hearing about science like this that keeps marching us forward when it comes to technology, to making things even more efficient. Like, hey, maybe I just, you know, slap on another layer and my solar panels would be a little bit more efficient on my house.
I'm still waiting for them to split the beer at them, but that's me.
Let's go on to something a little more up your alley.
Yeah. Now this is pretty cool. So, you know, they opened up a new ride at Galaxy's Edge, but they also had the premiere of it. Now, real X-Wings.
Is Galaxy's Edge only in Disneyland, or is it also in Disney World?
I believe it's both now.
Okay.
It's open in both areas. And I think this new ride, the Rise of the Resistance, I think it's just in one. Might be Disneyland, I think.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure on that. But they had real X-Wings that took flight at Disney's new Star Wars ride grand opening, thanks to Boeing.
Whoa. They're just toys. They can't really fly.
They're
dynamic.
You can see them in the sky.
You can't fly them in atmosphere.
Well, here, let's talk about it. So Boeing might be taking the last crucial steps of preparing for its first crewed Starliner capsule spaceflight, but it's also busy turning sci-fi into reality right here on Earth by helping Disney build X-Wing large-scale fighters to celebrate the opening of the Rise of Resistance in Disney World, Florida. So I'm sorry, I had it wrong. They opened up in Florida. Earlier this week, when the ride opened up during an evening ceremony, X-Wings roughly the size of a family van flew over the event, as described by The Drive, I guess is a website, which first identified earlier spy shots of the vehicles as potentially being based on Boeing's aerial cargo drone. Boeing has since confirmed its involvement, but they weren't providing more info other than the X-Wings were indeed their aircrafts. Just kind of neat. Could only be neater if it was like Elon Musk had put them together.
No, then it'd look like something out of Star Trek instead of Star Wars.
How's that brick stinging in the sky? So in the clip below, you can see the X-Wings ascent vertically into the night sky, then hover and rotate and head on out. Don't go squinting to see if you can spot Poe Dameron in the controls, however. These are unpiloted drones based most likely on the cargo air vehicle design Boeing has recently shown off, which sports six rotors, which you can see them in the close-ups. So, yeah, it's a drone. You can kind of see them between the wings. Yeah. But I'll admit, it was a neat effect. You could see them fly up and kind of hover and take off.
And the size of, what do they say, the size of a family van? That's huge. Yes. That's a big drone.
That is a big drone. And these are cargo drones. So, you know, they're meant to, you know, deliver cargo, I guess, maybe out in, enemy territory or hostile area or something like that.
Okay.
Maybe not two enemies.
We're going to fly things into Syria with X-Wings now?
Sure.
That'll confuse them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Maybe just make them look like a family van. That would confuse them even more. Say, look at your face. See, it's working already. You're confused.
Donna missed the whole thing. Thank goodness.
But yeah, go check it out. You can see the little video of them hovering, and they really zoom in there to give you. So it's a little bit blurry, but really neat. It'd been cool to see.
Yeah. In other space news, we have NASA's closest sun probe flyby gave scientists a mind-blowing result. So this is from tweaktown.com, which sounds like a reputable news source to me. Why not?
Tweak down. Let's go tweak.
Oh, in other sad news, Poe Dameron dies.
No, whoa. Not yet. The movie comes out in a few days. So.
That's my prediction.
Oh, okay.
NASA has got the results back from the Parker Solar Fly Probes. Excuse me. Let's try that again. NASA has got the results back from the Parker Solar Probe flyby, and they have shined a new light on how space weather works. It doesn't rain in the sun. Surprisingly, the results contradicted some expectations that scientists had regarding how solar winds behave. According to the results, there are flips in the sun's magnetic field direction called switchbacks, which can sometimes even point the winds back at the sun. Okay, that I didn't expect.
Okay.
At the moment, the cause of these switchbacks is still unknown to scientists, but Through the understanding of them, we could learn a deeper understanding of how stars are born. All you got to do is watch that movie, A Star is Born.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Scientists were again shocked at the discovery of solar winds traveling at the speed that they are, nearly 10 times larger than predicted by the standard model, said Justin Casper, principal investigator at the University of Michigan. Scientists also discovered that the sun's radiation vaporizes dust particles at about 3.5 million miles around itself.
Wow.
Don't get your... If you want to get your house cleaned out, just move it there. The Parker probe is at the moment suffering in terribly hot conditions, but scientists say the information that is providing them is revolutionary. Very cool. So, more science news coming. Stay tuned. You might even want to listen to Astronomy Cast. I think I have a promo for them coming up in just a minute.
Yeah.
So, is that a good point to take a break? 36 minutes
yes.
into the show.
Let's do that.
Yeah. All right. Let's do that, and we will be right back with some more stories. Hang on.
Hi, I'm Bill Farmer. You may know me as the voice behind Goofy, Pluto, and many other characters.
Howdy there. This is your old pal, Mr. Haney, and you're listening to Technorama with the Who Are They With? Chuck and Craig.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
Where's the kaboom? There's supposed to be an earth-shattering kaboom.
Hey, Doc. That's my Bugs Bunny.
All right, quick shout-out to the chat room. I have seen Chris Bardson, Jody Vandehey, and Charlotte Riddle-Kennedy, as well as Mike Robeson. Have you seen any names pop up there that you recognize?
Yeah. My old buddy Wesley Gaynor is in there. And I don't know if the chat's even working. With Facebook, sometimes you wonder.
It's at least the bandwidth is working that allow us to stream tonight, so we're happy about that. And if you are out there, we try to do this Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern time, so hope you can join us there or set your preferences to get notified when we go live on our Technorama podcast page on Facebook. We look forward to seeing you there. You can also catch us the following day on YouTube or the audio podcast on Wednesdays. So that's our schedule, and we're sticking to it as best as we can, unless family or emergencies intervene, or business trips. Okay, Craig, yeah. I must roll this one for you.
Yay!
I think this one came from Yorga. I know he sent us a link to it.
Yes, he did. And oddly enough, I had to circumvent the link that he sent. It was to Reddit, but for some reason, I couldn't get the Reddit link to come up, so I had to go kind of find it anyway. But I found it. And really it's a short post to, it links over to a YouTube video.
Yes.
This guy has found a 35-year-old Commodore 64 Easter egg hidden on vinyl.
And now, it's 17 minutes of video, folks, so strap in. He goes into excruciating detail about the history of the album, how to take apart a turntable.
I was kind of surprised by all that. I was like, where is he going with this? But so this album, I forget the name of it. Was the Electric Eye?
Electric Eye is the name of the album by, was it? Not Periodical. I can't remember the name of the album now.
Anyway, we'll put it in the show notes. Prodigal, that's what it was. Prodigal, excuse me, is called Electric Eye. And then, skip ahead just a little bit so I can see a picture of it. On side two, you could see where it said C64 was kind of engraved into the vinyl. So basically, you can watch the whole video and get the lowdown, but he recorded it and was able to load it in the audio that was in there made as a program. He was put it on a cassette tape. He went into detail about Maxell tapes and putting some data, you know, loading programs.
He couldn't load it onto an audio cassette at first from an audio recording. Yeah. That didn't
work. Right.
So he went and scavenged up this, who knows where he got it from, this other dead computer system cassette that he put the program onto. It was really a fascinating effort in research that was like, wow, it makes me wonder how many parts this guy has in his house.
Yeah.
More than mine.
So anyway, long story short, he ended up loading it up eventually. And it took, how long did it say it take? Like 64 minutes for him to, or 60?
Well, he was jocking around with his hardware to try and get it recorded onto a cassette and then loaded. That was the problem, is he found out it was the loading process onto that cassette that failed him. Because he got it from the vinyl into Audacity. Then Audacity, he said, I'll just hook up this cassette deck to my Mac and dump it out there as like audio. But the audio grade wasn't good enough.
Yeah, that's the thing about, it's one thing to take your computer, write the stuff to a cassette tape, and then try to record something to the tape deck through a microphone or some other copy or anything like that. It won't load. It will not work.
Right.
It just ain't gonna do
it. He finally did get it to load, and it had two quotes. Albert Einstein and one from Jesus Christ.
Yes, right. So it says, from Albert Einstein, it says, perfection of means and confusion of ends seem to characterize our age. And then from Jesus Christ, he says, see Albert Einstein. No, that's not what he said. Jesus Christ said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
Jesus writes, everything on the internet is true.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Well, the fact that he was able to take this rumored C64 program, nobody had ever proven it was actually out there.
Yeah.
Imagine being the guy who spent all this time writing the program, getting it onto the vinyl, and then nobody knows it's there.
And he's like, oh, finally.
Yeah. Oh. Right. I can die over. Happy. One guy read my program.
I'm curious who was responsible for that program.
They couldn't really tell. The author's initials were in there, but it wasn't one of the band members because it didn't correspond to any of the band members' initials. So it sort of, I like, because he was showing his C64, there's a copy of WrestleMania next.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
That's funny. You know what? I spent so much time with that stupid tape deck in my Commodore 64.
Oh, man. I never dealt with tape decks, thank goodness.
Oh, it was.
I dealt with tape drives, cartridge tape drives on the Unix machines. Mm-hmm. That sounded like they were going backwards more often than they were going forwards.
Well, the thing about cassette tapes, they were prone to failing more, obviously, than floppy disks because, the tape stretches maybe a little bit because you've got those rollers and everything. So if the tape stretches a little bit, your program may or may not load, then that's an issue, especially after typing in all the Computes Gazette, programs that they printed in the magazine.
Even archiving in the cloud isn't flawless these days. You still got to be able to find what you're looking for when you go back to
It's more reliable than a cassette tape.
Hey,
that 100, what was it?
Never had a problem with these punch cards losing their integrity.
Yeah. Well, let's see a fire come around, see what happens.
Well, a fire will destroy your CDs and everything else too, man.
Not the cloud.
Not the cloud.
Hey, I think it was like almost $200, like $164 or 106. I forget how much my floppy drive cost, that 1541.
A princely sum.
But I'll tell you what, it was worth it because it was more reliable than a cassette. plus, you could do things, like reading data back and forth. You could almost have like a little database on your floppy.
Ooh, you could run a bulletin board. Actually, I knew a guy who ran a self-authored C64 bulletin board.
I did.
That was a piece of work.
I did. I called it the clipboard. That's how original. But I did. I wrote it. Actually, the problem here we go. Speaking of using it as a database, whenever I wrote it, where when you send a message to another user, I had to write that to a file because I couldn't keep it in memory, obviously, because I only had less than 64 Kata to use. So my clipboard had to run in memory, of course, to run. So I had to dump them all out. That was when I started getting my first dipping my toes into the relational database. I mean,
there were no relational database on CCC.
It wasn't relational. It wasn't relational. I meant to say just a database, sequential database, I guess.
Right. My random access files. Those were wonderful, especially if you need to delete something out of the middle.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to our patrons, shall we? We want to thank these people because they are the ones who bring this show to you. And we want to thank you so much.
Bless you. Bless you.
Finance the bandwidth and the hosting and the hardware and software upgrades. It is a wonderful time. Thank you to Kyle Nishioka, Abner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills. Thank you, Megapodtastic Night Gig Studios, whom hide behind avatar names. Gary Lindros, thank you very much for the voicemail and the comments.
Yes.
John Clifford, Leon, John Noble.
Whoa.
Yes.
Never mind, go ahead.
Our John Noble. Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, the Yorga Shrawan, John Miller Jr., Amber Elstad, Harold McKinstry, Amy Bowen, Denise Inglis. Thank you very much, Stephen Wetchie. Dean Jensen, Dandy Man, NCAF1, Matt Baum, and of course, Christina. We would like to give you, dear listener, if you're not on that list, give you a wonderful shout out and exclusive content. All you have to do is go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast.
Hey.
Yes.
And by the way, I see two empty slots down there. So there's two opportunities.
Craig's
for two
OCD
more.
Is kicking in again.
Yeah.
That means we need three people to drive them nuts.
I have to merge some cells. Come on, help me out here.
I can do mail merge, but I'm not sure I can do a cell merge.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, everybody. We appreciate it. And you will get your exclusive podcast content. We're going to record it right after we're done with this. So hang on. And you actually get it first, I think. We'll go with that.
Get what first?
Let's do the media corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Now, we've all run into AI doing stories and artwork before. We've covered those types of stories. Here's a story about an AI that writes a text adventure while you play it. Doesn't sound suspicious like you could possibly lose.
3 weeks later, I never can finish the stupid thing.
It keeps running you around in a circle. So it's easy.
Why am I looking at this mailbox again?
Here's the story from PCGamer.com. It's easy to imagine advances in AI. We have all have an impact on strategy games and digital versions of board games like chess and Go. But one of the most interesting implementations of AI technology I've seen so far is a text adventure. Theater of the mind, baby. AI Dungeon 2 by Nick Walton uses OpenAI to simulate an old-school text adventure of the Zork variety. Only instead of having to read the designer's mind to figure out what type to use this thing on that thing, you write plain English and get results. Oh my gosh, this is great! Let me read some of these. You are dead meat, a wizard living in the kingdom of Larian. You have a staff and a spellbook. You finish your long journey and finally arrive in the ruin you've been looking for. You look around to see it's not much different than when you left it. A few new ruins here and there, but nothing to write home about. And the sentence they read is, "Remember the last time I was here?"
Yeah.
You walk through the door and find yourself in a large room with several tables scattered around it. There's a large fireplace on one side of the room and another one to the other. On the table sits a man dressed in black robes who looks up and sees you approach. "Greet, man."
"Hello,"
he says without... It's an open quote with an oath. "Hello," he says without looking away from his book. "I am Vark Sakken. I am a scholar and an expert in all things magical. Ask Vark Sakken what destroyed this ruin." "It's hard to explain, but let me try." He begins to read off some notes before stopping himself. No, that won't do. It would be better if we just talked about your past. Ask Vark Sakken if I destroyed this ruin." "Yes, I did," he replies. Whoa, I think we got the pronoun backwards here. Shoot me now. It says, as Varsakin, if I destroyed the ruin. And he says, yes, I did. Yeah, the AI needs a little tweaking here and there. Yeah. My home was here. My family lived here. They were killed by... So, you know, this is a great way to ask Varsakin if we are the same person. Yes, I suppose so. He smiles at you. Ooh, plot twist. Might be a timey-wimey thing coming up. So... I would love to play something like this. I think it would make it a lot less frustrating than trying to understand what the commands are to do some of the actions.
Well, here's the really cool thing. If you go to their website, you can actually play it.
Ooh.
Now, the thing is, I think you can even download it and run it yourself. It's written in Python.
But it only runs on a C64.
Yeah. Hey, there we go. No, but yeah, you can go. I need to look at this a little bit closer, but yeah, I'm looking at the thing. It tells you, I think they were, they had some mirrors down, but there, here's a download, a torrent. Here's some information on how to play it. I think you can play it from right here.
Neat.
Huh. Yeah, it is pretty cool. So you get your wish, Chuck. It's a Christmas miracle.
Craig, I'm thinking we need to somehow integrate this into our chatbot at work.
Didn't we kind of do this before?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
I mean, not with work stuff, but like I had a chat bot before for our show when we were recording.
Yeah, that didn't work.
I had the beer fridge. It worked out some.
We did have a beer fridge, didn't we? People were putting things IRC, in and taking things out.
Yeah, I had an IRC bot I wrote in PHP, and it would connect and interact with everybody. It was kind of fun.
And Clinton had the table of useless random things.
It was also written in PHP, and it was a chatbot, his table.
Okay.
The table's been retired, I think.
We are rapidly approaching our time limit if we ever had one. So let's go on to the Geek Library.
It's the internet. We have all the time we want.
Donna heard a clip on the radio that she said we need on this show. These guys tell a story. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of guys, and they do a story on, what is it, Tuesdays? They call it Dumbass of the Week. And at the end, they have this audio clip of somebody who called and said, well, that's a really interesting story. we could inject something like that on the show once in a while.
Oh, yeah. Call in. Call in and give us a sound bite.
Yeah. Something that we could put at the end of the story, like, what? That was the stupidest thing I ever heard. We will use those.
Yeah. What's the phone number, Chuck?
The phone number is 707-530-2428. 707, or if you're outside the U.S., +1-707. +1 our number.
It's now Technorama catchphrase of the month.
December is in. Short, quippy catchphrase.
That's right. All right. Oh, is it my turn?
Yes, you have the floating robot.
Yeah, so we talked about the Simon before. Simon with C-I-M-O-N. There's a Simone? I don't know. It's Simon 2 is headed for the International Space Station.
I thought we called this it Come On.
Yeah, Come On. So this is the second version. So on Sunday, SpaceX Dragon capsule will dock with the International Space Station, bringing supplies, experiments, including Mighty Mice. I think I've seen that cartoon before.
Wait, no, I have a Mighty Mouse on my Mac.
I've got one in there. Yeah, I've had one. And a friendly robot to keep the astronauts company for the next 3 years.
That didn't come out right at all.
And, anyway, so Simon is the next generation of the Crew Interactive Mobile Companion. The robot was built by Airbus at the German Aerospace Center and uses IBM artificial intelligence based on Watson technology. It's designed for human interaction and to help the astronauts with tasks as it autonomously navigates through the European Columbus Research Module on the space station.
We're a little closer to HAL, people.
Yeah. So it's autonomous. It's like, can I help you? Can I help you? Can I help you? Go away.
You just bat the thing out of the way because it's floating around in space.
Yeah. So in 2018, the first generation Simon joined the joined astronauts on the space station. The robot marked the world's first artificial intelligence system on the space station. European Space Agency astronaut Alex Gerst performed and recorded a 90-minute demonstration with Simon that showcased the robot's ability to fly freely around the station and play music. Oh, it was loaded up with Spotify, I guess. It was smart. It has a smart face and was able to spot and recognize Gerst, make eye contact, and carry on a conversation with him. The robot also helped provide instructions and took video and images of Gerst. So anyway, go check it out. There is video of it floating around. He's, you know, it's got little, it spits air out so it can kind of rotate itself and orient itself in space. So yeah, go check it out. Simon 2 is planned. It will stay up on the ISS for 3 years and support the crew. Simon has more sensitive microphones and a more advanced sense of orientation. The AI capabilities and stability after the complex software applications have also been substantially improved. So,
Just a quick interruption. We have a shout out in the chat room from longtime listener Joel. And Joel says, hi from Joel and his 2-day-old daughter, Ripley. 2 days old. I think that's our youngest listener yet.
He named her after Ripley from Aliens? Cool.
Maybe.
I'm not judging. That's fine with me.
What was the cat's name?
Oh, I know. What was it?
What Sergeant Sophie? What was the cat's name on Aliens?
Ask your wife.
All right, you can look it up while I'm reading this next one.
Cat Aliens.
From globalnews.ca, from Canada, Moncton Martin Ahern's Christmas lights display is quite literally out of this world. Quote, I was an average person who put up a few strings of light, and for some reason I started to add things here and there. He was eventually built on and on and on to the front of his house, but after you go around to the back of his house, you will find a beautiful scale model of the USS Enterprise from TOS, NCC-1701. And he's got it. It looks pretty good from the ground. He's got the lights in there. There's obviously a few cords to hold it in place and hold it up. But the neighbors love it. They're not kicking him out of the subdivision. There's a video you can find if you go through to our show notes on episode 584 of Technorama. You can watch the video. It's only a couple minutes long. It is a beautiful version of the Enterprise. Nice job finding the story. Did you find the cat's name yet, Craig?
Yeah, Jones.
Jonesy, that's what it was.
I was thinking something. I don't know why I was thinking something else, but yeah. Okay. But hey, I was searching for cat aliens, and I kept coming up with cat from outer space. So no.
I think most cats are aliens.
Yeah, I got a couple.
That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you very much for joining us this week. And as always, we will do our best to be back next week. Get in touch with us. If you've got comments, questions, catchy phrases you'd like us to play in the future, we'd be happy to. And call that in, 707-530-2428. We'd love to hear from you. Or if you've got feedback, let us know.
Our question, by the way, as a follow-up, Joel Harper says, yep, alien reference.
Well, you got away with it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Hey, I tried to name my son Han or Luke, and it just Kim wasn't having that.
You got away with Harrison. I told you Lisa's name was almost Kira Nerys.
Yep, close. Then our buddy Joe, Crazy Joe, he actually pulled it off.
Yep. I'll save that discussion for another time when we're offline. Question of the week this week is, because it's almost 2020, or maybe it is if you're listening to this a little later, what futurist thing did you seriously think we'd have by now? Floating cars. Cars.
You know what I almost put in parentheses? Not flying cars.
Not flying cars. Yeah. Okay. You're not allowed to say flying cars. We've already crossed that off the list.
Yeah. So, because everybody says that.
I think I'll put that when I post that to Facebook. I'll say not flying cars. Aside from flying cars, what futurist thing did you seriously think we'd have by now?
Mm-hmm. 3D movies.
Nope. Jetsons houses up in the sky.
Self-driving cars. Well, you almost got that.
Ooh, almost. Okay, so that takes us to the end. Thank you for joining us, everybody. We appreciate your support. Thank you. Again, if you want to get in touch with us, 707-530-2428. 707-530-CHAT is how you get in touch with us. Or you can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. As always, go over to the website at chuckchat.com/technorama. Or if you just end up on chuckchat.com, you know there's like a few icons there. You click the one that says Technorama, the purple one, and you'll find us. Easy as that. Thank you very much once again, Craig.
No, thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, Brian. Oh, Brian's not here.
Yeah. Thank Brian. Oh.
Thank you, Donna, for doing all the video once again. Wonderfully executed, and everybody appreciates that. You can find that on YouTube and Facebook. We'll have it there. And as always, Craig, let's send them off with the traditional binary high five.
All right. 101.
Thanks, everybody.